All right, you're listening to the Saturday Afternoon Show. I'm Tom Rowe, and we're at the Wave Farm Study Center, and I'm here with just Laura Haddon this week. Last week it was just Tennessee Watson, and this week it's just Laura.
Hi.
And Laura, you have many more interviews from throughout Greene and Columbia County.
We do. Today we have two different interview subjects cut into many different segments. We have a cheesemaker and a bartender, is what we have for you today.
Is it the Chatham cheese? Is that what I heard?
Yep.
You guys visited the sheep up there at the
Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company. Yes, we did. We had a great time, got to see behind the scenes of what goes into all that great cheese that you all are so lucky to have around here.
And I guess you're more than halfway through the work so far. Are there themes emerging? Are you starting to hear? Or do you hear the same sound in the background all the time, or
We don't hear the same sound in the background all the time. I was really surprised, I think, especially when we went to Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company. Making cheese, it's very noisy. I had no idea. You think of cheese as being sort of, I don't know, you'd think it just sits there and it becomes more and more delicious over time and ages, but there really is a lot of active sound and active sort of tape that you get when you are hanging out in that environment. So,
they have a little mini industrial system that don't they over there?
I don't know enough about
How does
what the
cheese
differences between those things are, but yeah, they have quite the setup there. They have big sort of vats and tubs of making different sort of cheeses. We got to watch them make blue cheese, and we got to see them flip all the cheese, and it was really an amazing experience.
Has that been your favorite interview so far, or can you pick one that's
I don't think I have a favorite interview so far. I will say that it was really, I really did like going. Last week we had segments from Nana Gail's Cafe. That was a really great experience, partially because I think it was special because it happens at a different time of day than most of the other interviews we are doing. And it's really kind of one of the things that we're really starting to think about, especially as we are continuing this project, is getting, a diversity of voices, a diversity of jobs, but also a diversity of times in which people are working. And for us, we're flexible. We're not 9 to 5 per se, but thinking about all those people who don't work within those spectrum and sort of beginning to focus a little bit on representing that and making sure that people really see the work being done by folks outside of that traditional 9 to 5
We have
workday.
a one WGXC programmer is works evenings walking along the train routes for CSX. Maybe you should talk. There's some late night people, I guess, that there's always cars on the road and trucks and people, I guess, bringing things for the next morning's day. And so that kind of part of the work world doesn't often get covered in the things like this.
Right, absolutely. And to be fair, the cheese making happens really early in the morning. I think that they, for the most part, start at 6. It's in one of the interviews that we have. But I think just because we happen to be there at 11, which is kind of like a more standard time, I don't think we fully. I think doing the interviews, one of the things that makes them more powerful for us is sort of getting there at the beginning, or getting near the end and sort of emphasizing what that rhythm and what sort of those time constraints do to the rest of your day and sort of within that day, sort of rearranging our schedule to make that work. But
I think we were talking with Tennessee last week about this a little bit, that you're finding some people they're lying about when the time their job ends and their relaxation begins is very blurred. Or I guess that's true at the Chatham cheese place. Actually, you can go there; they have a booth, and you can go there 24 hours a day and pick up a little cheese and drop off money in exchange, so their work never stops. So, are you talking to people that are working all the time?
We are talking to people who, mostly people who are working from themselves. Generally, that's when people seem to be always thinking about work or working all the time. Those sort of boundaries become a little bit more porous. I think, Liz Fontaine, who we talked to at Old Chatham, she has a family, and so she doesn't really have that. So she goes home to her family at the end of the day, and sort of she keeps work at work. But then, we interviewed a bartender, and her work is so much a part of her social life that I think that those boundaries aren't the same. And it's just interesting to see how that varies from job to job to job. We also interviewed a lawyer this week who's working pretty much around the clock and was talking about how technology has really changed that for him, that he's always available to some extent and how he sort of struggles to deal with that. So that's an interview that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So.
And last week with Tennessee, we talked about the public workshop you gave a couple weeks ago, and I guess you have another public event coming up. Should we mention that too?
Yeah, we are doing the unveiling of the installation for this project, which is going to be housed in a jukebox. But the installation itself will be in the Carroll Public Library on May 28th. We'll be there all day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. there will be a reception. So that's the Tuesday after Memorial Day.
The Tuesday after the day everybody has off. So you can extend your weekend with another fun event in Cairo.
Celebrate going back to work, as is appropriate for this program, yeah.
All right. So do you have lots of interviews that we should get to right away?
I do have some interviews, yeah. So I have Anna Carnahan, who's the bartender at the Spotty Dog. We met her. She was one of the very, very first people that we met because we had heard, you know, from people who'd been to Hudson before that the Spotty Dog was definitely somewhere that we wanted to check out. And we went to check out the first day, and we looked at the staff recommendation bookshelf, and we saw the title Working on, you know, someone, and the name next to it said Anna, and we're like, oh my goodness, because our project is so inspired by that book. We're like, we need to meet this person. So she ended up being one of the first people we talked to, and through her, we got connected to Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company, and she's just been an amazing resource. So we decided to go back and interview her, actually, because she seemed to be such an important part of the community and such a hub for so many people.
And then bartending is a strange job. You're definitely doing a job, but you're also kind of being friends. Like you were saying, it was social, and everybody says they're bartenders, their best friend, and things like that.
Right. And if you are a good bartender, I think part of it seems that you have to act like it's not work, even though it is. And that is part of your work, is to make it seem like you're not working that hard, even though, you know, I've seen Anna work, you know, works up a storm behind there, you know, when they get busy. So yeah,
a lot of jobs have a little acting in them, don't they?
They certainly do, and none so much as bartending, I think, so far. So, yeah, I guess I can go ahead and I'll play the first segment from that. Just as a reminder, we edit the pieces to the length of time that the person estimates it takes them to earn a dollar. Anna's interview is in 5 segments, but I will play one by itself to start, just to get a sense of that time difference, and then we'll probably roll into doing the next 4 in a row.
So, like, the interview with the lawyer will be a little shorter than the interview with the bartender,
exactly.
I'm guessing.
Exactly, yeah. So we're trying to, one of the goals is to get sort of that range of sort of financial background. So without further ado, here's Anna. All right, we're going to work on what's going on there. Just figuring that out.
I do a lot of research.
Here we go.
I'm Anna Carnahan. I am the Spotty Dog bar manager, and you guys are at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson, New York. What do I bring to this place? I love the beer. I love talking about the beer. I'm really good at multitasking and really fast bartender, very attentive, like to talk to people. And I do a lot of research to see what's good, because I don't like to order anything that's not good.
What do you think of that beer?
I like it a lot. Which beer is this?
So that's Black Pale. Black Pale Ale.
That's great.
Is that unlike anything you've ever had?
Yes. Thank you for introducing it. It tastes fresh.
It's from this newer brewery, Bronx Brewery. Different style.
How did I get this job? The guy who was doing this job before I got it was leaving, and we like had a conversation. I'm like, oh dude, I would love to do that. Like, I'd love, because I'm such a beer nerd.
So this is the basement. This is where we keep all the tap handles.
That's also where I have my lineup for the beers. I don't usually keep the same beer on. It's always changing, so people have to look at this to know what goes on next, if something kicks.
Beer cooler. So I usually like lift up the keg, see how much beer, like there's a lot of beer in that keg. That just went on yesterday. And like, kind of guess how much beer is in there. It's probably like two-thirds full.
We like to have a good variety of styles.
Oh, yeah.
We always have an IPA. We always have something dark. We always have a pale ale because that's a popular thing. We always have a cider because, you know, gluten-free. And people like to have cider. And then, and I always have something really light. And then after that, like, I have three handles. So we have eight total. So then after that, I have three that kind of change with the season. And also, we try to, like, I try to just keep it as local as possible. Like, right now is not really the best. I guess I have four New York beers. And then everything else is kind of like, these are Pennsylvania beers. New Hampshire, not that far away. And then, like, this is Delaware. But I try to keep more New York beers on.
So what are you guys going to do on the growler, do you know?
Yeah, that was good.
You want to taste something else? Taste whatever you want.
All right, so that is Anna Carnahan. That was a $1 segment of her story. So it's interesting, bartending as opposed to a lot of other wage jobs and a lot of service jobs, you have to factor in tips and such. So Anna was really helpful figuring out exactly sort of on average how that works out for her. So we're about to hear four more segments from her. So in the length of time it takes her to earn $4 on average.
Spy Dog sort of runs itself. Like, we all do everything here pretty much, except for I'm the one that orders the beer. We all put away books. We place special orders and take care of the books, you know. Like, on my day shifts, I'll come out and, like, organize shelves, make sure everything looks good. You know, we don't have that much space, so, like, it's really, like, a curated collection pretty much. Like, people that have worked here in the past, you know. And it's kind of cool that we all have different interests because, like, you know, there's books that I would order that somebody else might not think to order and vice versa. So it's kind of nice that we have that much control. Like, I'm interested in beer and food and gardening. I've kind of, like, see what we need over here and try to keep ordering different stuff because that's fun for me. Drunken Botanist, this is a really cool new book. Plants that create the world's great drinks. This is our staff picks shelf, and we all get to put whatever we want up here. I've got Raymond Carver's, one of my favorite short story authors. Kind of dark. I don't know. I like to flip through a Raymond Carver story every once in a while when I'm feeling blue. I just started getting into Murakami a lot. So Kafka on the Shore. I just read Norwegian Wood again. I've read that twice. And I started reading Kafka on the Shore. I'm reading it right now. So I just put it on my shelf because I'm really enjoying it. This is like one of my favorite books of all time, The Joy of Homebrewing. This is like a fun book to read. It's about brewing beer, but it's like really funny. And there's like funny comics in it. Stud Circle Working. I put this up there because I think it's really interesting. And I would like, if people are looking at my shelf, like, I think this is a really interesting book that maybe not everyone knows about. And then I have the Book of Alternative Photographic Processes. I went to school for photography, and I don't really do that much of it anymore, but I'm really interested in alternative processes, so it's a cool book. People love to, like, pick up books and start talking about them. Like, the conversations that people have here, I think, are a little bit, like, you know, people, you might catch people talking about, like, poetry or literature or something, and I don't think you would always find, I mean, you might find that sometimes, like, but, like, probably not all the time. And it happens a lot here, like, definitely, like, conversation starters for sure, and sharing books with people is really cool. I, like, that's one of the things I love about, like, having our shelves and, like, people come in that want to have a beer, but they're, like, looking for a book, and then you're, like, oh, hey, dude, I think you should read this book. Like, this is great. Or, like, I just saw this cool book come in the other day. Like, and it's more social. Like, it's more, like, because people are relaxed because they're, like, sitting here. It's not like you're, like, a bookstore where you're, like, you know, stuffy and, like, feel like you can't, like, shoot with somebody about what you want to read. You kind of get paid to hang out with people when you're back here. That part of it's cool. And sometimes that part of it sucks. Because sometimes you don't feel like you're definitely like in a, like on display all the time, you know. And you gotta talk to people, keep them like occupied. You can tell when people want to be talked to, you know. Like there was a girl here the other night. I swear to God, like she kept interrupting other people's conversation. You could tell that she like was new in town and wanted to like meet some people. So of course, like. Of course, I, like, went over and asked her, like, her name and where she came here from and blah, 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 you know? And that's a connecting. So then I was like, well, you should talk to this person. There's some people that come in here and wave and air their dirty laundry and, like, all that kind of stuff. But, a lot of those times people just want attention. This is the kind of thing that I'm good at because I'm, like, a people person. And it's, like, not hard for me to, like, get along with lots of different people. So if that's one thing. Like, yes, I can bartend because I'm, like, personable. And, like, I like to get to know people. I guess I've also learned that, like, there's a limit to that. Like, there's a limit to being personable and wanting to, like, spend time with people because, I mean, I get paid to hang out with people, and it's like there's a limit to how much I want to do that. I wish I was more challenged every day of the week. But I think that one of my gifts is being with people, and so, like, I enjoy being with the people here, and so I think I bring something to this place. So that feels good. Like, if you look at it in terms of, like, what you get out of it and what you bring to the table, if you can, like, hold that in high enough regard and then, like, use your frustrations as fuel to, like, figure out what you really want to do, then that's okay for me for right now. I get really bummed out sometimes because I'm not doing something different, but I can pay my bills right now, barely, but I can pay my bills right now. And I have a lot because I have school loans and things like that. So it affords me my lifestyle, my very modest lifestyle. I like being around the books. I've learned a lot about beer. The beer is free. It's another perk. I've met a lot of people through this place. What you want, Mark? My job is to stand here and make sure that your glass is full, right? So what am I going to do, stand here and, like, stare at you? First time you have to kick somebody out, that sucks. Having to tell people they can't have any more to drink, like, that's, like, really nerve-wracking. We're not used to doing that. Totally nerve-wracking. If you have any kind of, compassion in your heart, like, it sucks to have to talk to somebody about that. Like, it's better for me not to psych myself up for it. It's better for me to just to be really calm and go walk over and talk to somebody. If I psych myself up for it, I'm going to, like, say the wrong stupid thing. Like, it's not, like, even if I think in my head what to say, it's not good. It's really your responsibility as a bartender to cut people off because you're liable. Like, if somebody were to go and, get in their car and were to get in an accident, like, we are liable in some way. So it's really our responsibility to monitor it person to person. But like I've said, there are people that have come in here enough times and had enough problems that we do have, like, rules about. There's certain people in town that are only allowed one beer or whatever. There's a particular patron that I have in mind that comes in by himself and sits in the corner and likes to start bothering people. But we have a good rapport, so I can be like, all right, time for a glass of water. Or, all right, time to go. And he knows. So that's, like, the best situation. There's also people that, like, you don't have a good rapport with. Or there's also people that you don't really know if you can approach them that way because afraid of, like, how they might react. It is kind of a delicate thing because we are small, and it is like if I was talking to you right now and you'd had, like, too many beers, like, everyone sitting right here would hear me asking you to leave. So it's like something you have to be really delicate about. And this also happened in not so nice ways where it's like, get out of here, and there's people that are not allowed in here. There's people who are only allowed to have one beer and one and done. And there's, like, there's, like, a whole cast of characters that have a strange drinking history here at Spotty Dog. There are regulars that are terrible tippers, and I still have to serve, someone in particular, I still have to serve him beers, like, every other day, and he tips me terribly. I buy him, like, every fourth beer or something, and he would still not tip me. So now I never, like, there's lots of regulars that we will buy beers for because they, they would never expect it. Here, people tip us $1 for every beer. The beers are $4. They give us a $5 and give us a change. Like, I, honestly, before I started working here, I don't think I tipped that well. I maybe tipped 50 cents a beer. I mean, I always tipped on every drink, but maybe not $1 every drink, especially not a beer. There you go. That was a good guy.
Talk about a good tip.
That was a good tip.
We only gave him 2 beers.
Was it 2?
He gave us $5.
He must have been enjoying the conversation. I like that it's a small town. I like bartending here because we have like regulars that come in and a lot of some of the people I see every day. I know what Rich wants in his glass when he walks in the door.
That one's a $4 mug. That's for you.
It can be really great and it can be really difficult. Like, I'm great friends with some of the people I didn't even know before I started working here because we shoot it every day about what they did today and, like, you know, like, we play Scrabble or whatever. And then there's, like, people who come in here and drink too much, like, too often. Like, you know, it's not so much where they're, like, disturbing anybody, but you, like, worry about them. You're like, am I enabling this person? Like, they're not doing anything wrong. I don't need to, like, cut them off. But it's, like, one of the things that is hard for me about doing this is, like, that part of it, you know, enabling somebody to, like, sometimes people get dark, sometimes people get depressed, or, you know, you can just tell that it's not, the alcohol is not doing them any good. And that's hard, but that's just something, like, I'm here to serve. I can't, like, unless we're really good friends, I'm not going to be like, hey, or I don't even really want to be like, hey, you should probably shouldn't keep sitting here and drinking beers, but... Yeah, that's one of the really hard things, I think. Especially me, because I work a lot during the week, and so I see people, like, day after day after day. So it's a little bit different than the weekend crowd. But for the most part here, it's like, you know, we see, like, some of the same people every day, but they're pretty, like, well-behaved and really respectful and fun to be around and good friends, you know?
Do you have enough beer, Margaret?
Love it when Rich and Margaret, who are in here, and we play a game of Scrabble, and, like, I'm still, like, pouring beers for everybody, but, like, we have a good time. Nick, what do you want? Nugget? I mean, I definitely feel like I have, like, a little bit of a crowd that comes to hang out with me, for sure. Like, definitely. Especially because I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. Like, people come in to see me, for sure.
The other thing is that this is kind of the, like, the hangout spot when there's, like, big storms, snowstorms, like tornado.
I mean, the beer still pours even if we lose power, and like, so it's kind of becomes like a hangout spot. And we also get a lot of people like right off the train or waiting for the train, even though we're up the street, you know, people traveling through.
You guys are from Asheville?
Mm-hmm.
What brings you up here?
Traveling around.
Cool.
We've never been to the Northeast before. It's our first time in New York.
Cool.
So,
why Hudson? Oh, you have a friend? Are you friends with Emily?
Yeah, we're friends with Emily. We know her boyfriend. Really?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, he played here a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Keeps. Oh, cool.
Matt said Hudson was the place to go. So
good.
All right, you just heard Anna Carnahan from The Spotty Dog talking about bartending, and that was four tracks in a row, so $4 worth of Anna's story. Anna's story and the rest of these stories, I'll mention again, will be featured in a jukebox, which is going to be installed at the Caro Public Library. Our opening is going to be on May 28th, starting at 10 a.m. Till 5 p.m., and then 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., we're going to have a reception, so I hope you all will be able to join us there. Up next, we bought this jukebox on eBay online a while ago, and it just came. And one of the fun things that Tennessee and I have been doing is been going through the CDs and pulling out songs related to work. And this song is technically about unemployment, but it is definitely in the spectrum of songs that are looking critically at work and the lack thereof. So here is a song, Get a Job by The Silhouettes.
Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, but sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, but
sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la,
but
sha-la-la-la,
sha-la-la-la, but dip, 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 dip,
dip,
dip,
dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip,
dip,
dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, dip, for me. I then go back to the house, hear that woman's mouth
reaching and crying, tell me
it, and I'm lying about a job that I never could find. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la.
Get a Job by The Silhouettes. I'm Laura Haddon, and I am reporting back to you from the Wage Working Project that me, along with my collaborator, Tennessee Watson, have been traveling around this area getting stories of people working in Columbia and Greene counties. So we are a little bit over halfway through our project. We'd still love to get in a couple more interviews if we could, and if you are interested in being interviewed for our project, send us an email at wageworking@gmail.com or call us at 518-314-9675. That's 518-314-WORK. And if you're interested in learning more about the project in general, we also have a website, and we're posting some photos from our interview subjects and sort of interesting quotes that we've heard people say and gathered. And the website for that is wageworking.com. All right, so moving on to our next interview, we were lucky enough to meet up with Liz at Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company, who is a cheesemaker there. And to talk about her work, here's Liz.
We're at Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company in Chatham, New York. We make cheese and yogurt out of sheep's milk. We get a lot of our milk right from the sheep here on our farm. We get milk from the Amish farms that are local. Well, right now we're in our shipping/eating area. This is kind of like our break table, but Wayne over there is the main person in charge of shipping all of the cheese and yogurt out. So that's what you're hearing, is him boxing yogurt and cheese and putting it in the packaging that it needs to be. Well, I don't make the yogurt, but I help to take it off the machine and put it on the racks. But we make Camembert in several different forms, as in different shapes, different molds. We also make a Kinderhook Creek, which is 100% sheep's milk cheese that we have a few different size molds for. And we make the fresh cheese, which is 100% sheep's milk cheese that's just ladled into cheesecloth bags. And then that sits out for a day. And then it's just packed as it is, blended with salt. We also make the two different kinds of blue cheese as well. And the yogurt comes in a couple different flavors. I went to Le Cordon Bleu school, and I actually worked in different restaurants in the Albany area for a while. And then I kind of stopped working in restaurants when my son was born, just because the hours were too long. And I kind of just found this job and just started about almost 2 years ago. It's a good location. I grew up here, and it's easy to get to. And then the job itself is, I mean, the first week was hard because I wasn't used to the physical labor, but once you get used to it, it's not bad at all. It was just interesting to learn how the whole process works, because I'd never done it before. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew that I like to eat cheese. Well, I have random thoughts all throughout the day. I mean, I have a 4.5-year-old son, and he stays at home with my mom while I'm at work. So she I usually text her a couple times a day and see how he's doing, and then I'll think about, what chores do I have to do when I get home, like laundry, cleaning, stuff like that. I leave work at work because, like, when I'm home, I have to be with my son and play with him and do whatever he needs. With having a young son, I mean, you just kind of just do your job so that you keep your job and do it well. I mean, you learn to care about the job. Your name is on all the paperwork when you help to make the cheese and things like that, so you got to care about how it comes out, especially when your name's attached to it, because it can always come back to you, but you have to actually want to put in the hours to make the money so that you can provide for your family, kind of thing. Well, you want to show that you're doing a good job so that you could be appreciated and keep your job. I mean, they show us appreciation by letting us have more hours. If they want to make extra cheese, they'll ask you, hey, can you come in and do this? And to know that you're depended on to do your job is a nice feeling, to have job security. The extra money is always nice. And it just gives you more an opportunity to get more things done, hopefully, so that you don't have to do as much the next day. Make the next day a little easier. I see myself being here for quite a while, hopefully. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but I'm not too familiar with other processes, but I think that if I ever had to leave here for any reason, that I might stay in cheese if I can find another job that was local. I wouldn't want to move too far away just because all my family's here. I knew that I liked cheese before I started this job, but it just gives you, like, when you see it in the store, like, I mean, the chain grocery stores like Hannaford and places like that don't carry our cheese yet, but I don't know, maybe someday when sheep's milk cheese becomes more mainstream. Right now it's just kind of like the foodies and the people that are really into cheeses know about sheep's milk. Right now it's not really mainstream. Yeah, it's cool, like, to see it and know that you had a part in making the product.
All right, that was Liz from Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company, and talking about what she does every day. And now we are going to go into a second segment by Liz, getting a little bit behind the scenes as to the process of making cheese. As I said, I love cheese. I knew very little about how it's made, and so it was especially a treat to sort of see how they all work together. It's a really neat place. So here you go.
Whoever gets here first just turns on the radio, and it's usually on the station that was on the night before. We're just putting out the squirrels, and he's getting ready to pump out the milk, and then I'll go eat lunch while he does that, and then we'll do the make. Well, I try and get here by, like, 6, quarter after 6, just to help start cleaning. Because there's a lot that has to be done before we can start setting up. It's not specific that we have to come in at that time, but everybody kind of does, because if you don't, then you're here really late and nobody wants to be here all night. But I usually come in at 6, and we're usually done right around 3 o'clock. I first come in the morning and I flip all the cheese in the coolers, because I have to be flipped every day for mold growth, making sure that it looks like the mold is growing uniform all over all sides of the cheese, and that it's consistent in color and dryness. We try and dry out the cheese before it starts growing mold, because otherwise it'll get dark spots in the rind when it does have a mold on it, and then that's not good product to send out to people. And then kind of spray off the molds to get them ready to put into the CIP, which is that tank in the washroom, because everything has to be washed and sanitized before it can be reused. Wes and I usually wind up cleaning the tables together and then kind of just reset up the mold. It's basically the same process every day. It's a lot of repetition, just cleaning, a lot of cleaning and sanitizing. Just cleaning, getting ready. Probably going to be cutting in like 3 minutes. Yeah, I mean, we all kind of have to help each other out to, or else, I mean, if somebody didn't do their job, it makes it harder for somebody else to do theirs. There's only like a few people that actually have specific jobs, and I mean, like myself, I mean, I'm kind of like a floater because I do a little bit of everything, but there's a couple people that are like that. But we all have to do it, or, I mean, it doesn't get done. We work with the same people every day, so you have to not necessarily get along, but we all get along, and we'll sit there and, like, make jokes or, like, poke fun of each other to kind of get through the day, listen to the radio, hang out.
Hey! What? You did that on purpose.
No. If I did it on purpose, you would be a little bit more. Then you would have to go home.
So that it can make the right curd size so it can release the whey before we ladle it, because the more whey that you release from the curd, the easier it is to ladle, and the better that the cheese solidifies in the molds. So you have to time the bins at least like 8 minutes apart so that a couple people have time, you know, to get the cheese into the molds before you have to start the next bin. But we'll start ladling in about 14 minutes. We get some buckets to put under here. We're trying to inch away so it doesn't hit the floor, but we're not making ricotta this week, right? Sometimes if we make more than one, like two different kinds of cheese in one day, like if we make our Kinderhook and Camembert on the same day, it makes for a lot more to do because you have to wait for one cheese and make it and then clean the equipment and then make the other cheese. You just know what you have to do and just get it done. I mean, you just, if stuff doesn't get done, then you can't make cheese, so you kind of just have to get it done. Just come in and see what hasn't been done yet and just start working so you can make more cheese.
All right. That was Liz at Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company talking to us about what she has to do. And as always, we're super grateful for the folks that are our interview subjects. We generally, as you probably hear, come in and bug them while they're at work, and in Liz's case as well, during her lunch hour. And so we're just incredibly grateful for people who've been so generous with their time. As you heard in that piece, radio is often an important motivator for people on the job. And that being said, we are going to play another song from the Jukebox Collection. This song, Roy Orbison, Working for the Man. Another aspect of the project is, as we've mentioned, that we're going to have the unveiling of this jukebox May 28th at the Caro Public Library. And we're hoping also to be collecting local sounds via CD, local music. And we're happy to trade those CDs with you for one of the treasures that exists in our jukebox currently. So if you're interested in some early 90s Mariah Carey, some Billy Joel greatest hits, we might have a good deal for you. So I'm going to play you this song, and then the next track is going to be actually a vox pop produced by members of a workshop that Tennessee and I ran with some folks interested in learning about how to use basic audio technology to sort of dig into their communities a little bit. And they did an amazing job, and I wanted to make sure to play that as well. So here you go.
Hey now, you better listen to me, every one of you. We've got a lot of work to to do. Forget about your women and that water can. Today you're working for the man.
My name is Karen Gardner.
I'm Melinda Broughton.
I'm Deborah Kamica.
I'm Tyson Hoff.
I'm Peter Brouck.
We all participated in the Capturing Community Voices workshop led by Wave Farm Artist-in-Residence, Laura Haddon and Tennessee Watson, this Sunday, April 28th. We went around collecting voices of workers in and around Cairo to assemble a vox populi, which means voices of the people in Latin. So here's that piece.
I created my job.
I just worked hard all my life. You know, started working construction and worked in stone quarries.
It's a good way for me to make a living without being committed to getting up and having to be someplace at some time. This really enables me to just be able to do it whenever I feel like doing it.
I'm a art preparator, museum preparator. And I got it through a friend of a friend who knew that I was a good interior painter.
I'm a vendor, and I turn around and I go into stores like this, and when they're short of help, I turn around and vend the shelves. I got nothing better to do. It's what happens when you're retired.
It initially started as a labor-oriented job, and now I'm very skilled.
Well, I have three kids of my own, 7 years old, 5 years old, and 1 year old. And I was always looking for things to do with them as a stay-at-home mom. My background is education, and I always wanted something to do with them and to offer the community, and also not be involved with traveling, you know, so far, because there is nothing around to do with little ones. So that's how I came up with this video.
You call the shots? Yeah. I guess that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I was in there for 30 years. So, you know, it worked out good with the pension and everything. And it helps now because the way things are in life, you know, it's pretty rough right up there.
Well, actually, I got into it because of my husband. The reason that I do it now is because I'm disabled.
It's going to be harder for the kids nowadays, really. I mean, they don't realize what the world is all about yet, you know, the way things are going. Yeah, and I know I got a son here and everything, so.
Come to work. I wish it was easier. It's Greene County, you know.
Oh my God, my freedom went out the door. I mean my casual come and go, which I could do before when I worked for other companies.
A mom with 3 kids and a business by myself, it's not easy. Working 7 days a week.
You know, like I say, I'm a working guy. I'm not a stiff. I just like to work, and you know, so it keeps you going in life.